from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. And it is with great pleasure that I bring in my friend Kayleigh McEnany, who is former White House press secretary in the Trump administration, presently the co-host of Fox News Outnumbered, and a New York Times best-selling author, and she's doing it again. Her new book is coming out in May 2nd, and it's titled Serenity in the Storm, Living Through Chaos by Leaning on Christ. And I love that right there. I love it. I'm all for it. I don't have the book yet, but I love this. I love the notes. And Kayleigh, thank you for coming on. And
hey,
go ahead.
Yeah, great to join you, Larry. And I will make sure you get a book. It's a pleasure to join you. As you know, you are a beloved former and current colleague.
You're the best. I just love this. I'm just reading through some of the notes. That's why I really want to read this book. But you look at all these problems. Social problems, diplomatic war problems, Afghanistan, crime problems. You look at it through the lens of faith, and you say, the storms we face have prompted many great leaders to rise to the moment and have left a yearning in the human heart for a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is walking alongside us every step of the way. You know, Kayleigh, I've been through my own problems and crises in my life, and I believe in the last 30 years that Jesus Christ has walked alongside me. He's fallen with me and he's risen with me, or let me just say he's pulled me back up. So I just think right off the top, I love what you're saying here. Love this.
Exactly, and that is so beautifully said, Larry. You know, at the end of the day, it's so easy to get involved in the horse race of politics. You know, I'm for this Republican candidate or that one, or, you know, I don't like what the Democrats are doing, or, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in that. But when your vision transcends the human political process, and you realize the goodness that comes with faith and love of Jesus Christ and the kindness and compassion that he showed, it can take us to a place, if we have a nationwide revival, where we love one another and this divisiveness is just gone. And God's at work even now. And you know, you see that even in the darkness of Afghanistan and the horrid takeover of the Taliban. You know, I got to speak with a member of the underground church there. She was beautiful, named Asman, and she said, the underground church is on fire. It may be small, but it's mighty. And the receptiveness to the message of Christ there is something to be said and a story to be told.
Kayleigh, this sounds to me like an optimistic book.
It is. Look, we live in dark times. There's no doubt about that. You just turn on the news and you see it. So we've got to be real and candid and realistic about where we are. But at the same time, he's not gone. He's still there. And when we turn to him, amazing things can happen. And, you know, I would argue one such moment was the Dobbs decision, where life is now valued. 63 million children have been killed to the scourge of abortion since Roe. And he's at work, even at times when it doesn't feel like he's there.
Who else? I want to get talk politics with you. I want to talk, you know, low and dirty politics with you, but I want to start with the high road on this lovely book. What other examples do you talk about in the book?
One of them is religious freedom. You know, when you go back to the 60s and the 70s, where we had a Supreme Court that said, you know, no, you can't say God in school. You can't pray in school. That's not fair. You know, they essentially took God out of society entirely. And the court actually, when it took out school prayer, said, you know, yes, there's separation of church and state, but that doesn't mean that we create a religion of secularism in this country. And what we've seen for decades is the court do just that. But all of a sudden, Amy Coney Barrett gets to the court and these onerous COVID restrictions are wiped away that you targeted churches. Coach Kennedy can now kneel in silent prayer on the 50-yard line after a football game by himself, which is inconceivable that there was a point in our country where you couldn't do that. But religious liberty is another example where you're seeing him at work even when it feels dim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the way the left is trying to change our culture, cancel culture, there's no God, there's no religion, there's no family, there's no work, right? It's all government. Government is God, government is religion, government is family, government provides the work, government is investment. There's no, you know, in my line, in the economy, there's no free enterprise, there's no free markets anymore, it's all government dominated. In fact, we just had one, Kaylee. We had this earlier last week. The EPA comes out with a tailpipe, you know, auto regulation that will basically end the internal combustion engine. And our former colleague Steve Miller is on the show, and he says to me, "Well, we're going to end the internal combustion engine. Did anyone vote on that, House or Senate? No, they're just going to declare it, just like they're declaring, you know, no, you're right about religion in the school. Kaylee, when I was a kid, listen to this. When I was a kid, I went to this place called the Dwight Englewood School. We said the Lord's Prayer in homeroom. Now, this is a long time ago. You couldn't get it. They'd probably shoot you for that now. But we actually said the Lord's Prayer in homeroom at the beginning of the day. Go figure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, you can opt out of that if you so choose. You know, that is one answer to that. But what's interesting to me is, so Madeline Murray O'Hare, who's a famous atheist, she was responsible for getting prayer out of schools in large part. But what was interesting, her son, Bill Murray, later in life rejected his mother's atheist views. And he had alcohol problems at the time when he was, you know, godless. And he changed his life. And you could see the evidence in the way his life changed. And not only that, he pointed out Baltimore schools used to be a place when there was prayer in schools where you didn't need security guards, there was no violence in schools. And he said, you took out prayer from schools and all of the scourges we see happening in the American education system can be traced back to the moment when we chased God out of the schools. But totally to your point, big government, the EV rules, you know, the big G seems to be government these days and not God. And wow, what are we reaping?
No, that's right. You know, my dear friend and former employer, but dear friend Judy and our friend, the late Bill Buckley, William F. Buckley, wrote at some length in his last years about the downfall of religion. And by the way, free religious speech and what, you know, how it was taken out of the schools, you know, obviously Bill lived in a rarefied world of well-heeled boarding schools, but there's no God in those boarding schools anymore. That's the example I was given in my private school. They've changed all that. I mean, this was a long time ago that I was in prep school. But the point is, Buckley wrote about how you lose religion and you are going to lose the soul of the country. Our friend Bill Bennett, who I don't know if you know Bill, he's a pal of mine from the Reagan years, often comes on our show and talks about that. You lose religion, you lose the soul of the country, you lose your culture, you lose your bearings, Kaylee, you know? So I see a book here that talks about a yearning in the human heart for a Savior, Jesus Christ, who was walking alongside us every step of the way. You know, I can almost cry over that, but it's just a wonderful thing to read.
Yeah, it's so true. And especially, you know, I get into social media, you know, with young girls. It really troubled me and broke my heart when I saw the CDC statistic that 1 in 3 girls are contemplating suicide or have thought about it. I mean, that's amazing. 30%. You walk down the street, you see 3 girls. One of those girls has thought about suicide. And when we live in a society where your answer is Twitter and Instagram, you know, I grew up, MySpace was created just as I was leaving high school. So I didn't really grow up in this generation. But it's tough. You know, my parents instilled in my heart, you know, that I do have a Savior to look to. And when the goings got tough, when I was living in New York City and was so lonely at one point, you know, I had someone to turn to that wasn't social media. And I remember asking God, you know, hey, are you out there? I need to hear from you right now. And I got a call minutes later from the church I was attending saying, we feel like we need to pray for you. You know, we're making a round of calls. How can we pray for you? And from that moment on, you know, I knew he was real in a very personal way. And having that outlet to turn to, it just breaks my heart that not all young women have that at a time when they're turning to social media and the selfie. And it just it has disastrous end.
We all need a higher power of some kind.
No doubt about it.
Right. I mean, we just do. I learned that long time ago myself. I have my problems with alcohol and drugs, and you need a higher power. You can't get through life without one. Folks, we are talking to Kaylee McEnany, who is a former White House press secretary and presently co-host of Fox News' Outnumbered. And she's got a new book out, Serenity in the Storm, Living Through Chaos by Leaning on Christ. Kaylee, you got a little more time. I want to take a break and maybe come back and talk some politics with you, if that's okay.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
All right, kiddo. Folks, I'm Kudlow. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with Kayleigh McEnany. Please stick around.
Larry Kudlow. Larry Kudlow. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We are talking with Kayleigh McEnany, who was the former White House press secretary during the Trump years, my colleague, and is presently co-host of Fox News hit show Outnumbered, and she's a New York Times best-selling author. The new book is Serenity in the Storm, Living Through Chaos by Leaning on Christ. The release date is May 2nd, so we're coming down to it. It's just a little more than a week. I love to sell books on radio, one click on Amazon or whatever. Kayleigh, big story in the Wall Street Journal today. Their poll's out, which confirms what we've been seeing. The headline is Trump tops DeSantis in poll of GOP. Head-to-head, DeSantis was up plus 14 in December, and now DeSantis has fallen to minus 13. Our former boss is plus 13. 51 for Trump, 38 for DeSantis. And if you throw in the other, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, and so forth, actually Trump is up 24 points over DeSantis. So what do you make of that, Kelly? You know, the boss, the old boss, he's, I don't know. People keep counting him out. And I don't know, right this minute, I had I bumped into an old friend of mine, a Wall Street Journal reporter from Washington, from the Washington office, who says to me, and he's not a Trump guy, but he said, you know, right now it's better than 50-50. Trump's going to be president again. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that he has had a surge in the polls in the aftermath of that really unjust indictment, which even legal commentators have noted was totally unfounded by Alvin Bragg, total political move. So you've seen him surge in the polls. I think senior people in the governor's orbit would argue that they look at the favorability ratings in that poll, and they say DeSantis is double digits higher than Trump among Republicans. So I think they see some encouragement in the polls. Governor DeSantis hasn't even announced yet. But this is an uphill climb. I mean, our former boss, President Trump, he's dominant in these polls, nevertheless. And not only that, he's really zeroing in on something he's very good at, which is retail politics. Last night, he had this viral moment. I mean, I saw Trump trending on social media today. And I click it, and he had this moment where he went to a pizza shop in Fort Myers and ate a piece of pizza just with everyday Americans. And you just see his smile and his likability in that scene. He did something similar in Iowa. So, you know, President Trump, if he really locks into a policy message, engages in those retail politics stops, it does feel like he could be unstoppable. But, you know, Governor DeSantis, a warrior in his own right. I'm a Floridian, so, of course, I love my governor there. He's taken on some pretty big policy battles with Disney, signing the six-week heartbeat bill. So I think he will try to cleave to the right of President Trump and illustrate some policy contrast there. And, you know, we'll see if he can do that on a debate stage. That's what it all comes down to.
You know, Kayleigh, I got to tell you, from my perspective, and I respect Ron DeSantis, and he's been a good governor, but I think this obsession he has and continuing fight with Walt Disney is hurting him. It's showing him to be ineffectual. And our pal Kellyanne Conway says this, that it's too much woke and not enough economic growth and prosperity and inflation. And he's got a, you know, Florida has a great record on the economy, let's say, compared to New York or California. But he's not doing that. He's fighting Mickey Mouse, and it's hurting him. It makes him look ineffective. And, you know, some people are saying Trump would have settled this thing in, you know, one meeting. Well, you've seen it with a Diet Coke and a Hershey bar in the dining room behind the Oval Office. But I think DeSantis made a big mistake here.
You know, Kellyanne's a brilliant pollster, no doubt about it. And, you know, I trust her word on a lot of these matters. But where I disagree is that, you know, there is something really big going on in corporate America. I know you see it. I know Kellyanne sees it. The woke corporate America embracement of the trans movement, really forcing it on our children. Disney, of course, opposing that kindergarten through third grade legislation to keep sexuality out of schools, which is just common sense. So, you know, I think the governor, politically speaking, was smart to take this on, was smart to make himself the opponent of Disney World. And I think on a debate stage, he's going to say, look, I took on Disney. I took on corporate America. I'm the fighter against wokeism. And you see that in my really gritty fight against Disney. So I think he can use it to great effect. But to your point, touting the economic record of Florida is not something we hear a ton from the governor currently. He still hasn't declared. We still haven't heard his big, you know, coming out speech. But that is something that, you're right, he doesn't get the reputation for, though he's done a great job. He's got to make that the focus, because I can tell you, President Trump, you know, his message is going to be been there, done that, and can do it again. And that is a very strong message, because we saw what he did with the federal government for 4 years.
I sent you the Wall Street Journal editorial, Florida versus New York, which is something that I did on the air twice. In fact, I wrote, I don't know, one or two columns about it. On, let's see, if you live in New York, if you live in New York City, your state and local tax is 14.8%. If you live in Miami, Florida, your state and local tax is zero. Now, I would want to promote that. And Florida has a higher population than New York. They passed New York in population. But the Florida budget is half the size of New York. And meanwhile, Florida is growing three times as fast with an unemployment rate that is half again as low as New York. Now, if I were he, I'd be talking about that. If I were DeSantis, I'd be talking about that. It's right, you know, yeah, the prosperity agenda, Kayla. You remember when you were the press secretary, right? You'd get an economic number, you'd send me an email, and I'd give you the bullets back. You know that it's just as hot now as it was a few years ago.
For sure. I shouldn't be learning those numbers from you, right? You know, I should be learning these in a campaign ad for the governor.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that. Again, it's premature. He hasn't gotten out there and declare his candidacy yet. But there's a lot of people, at least the reporting suggests, in his inner circle that say, hey, where are you out there? You know, President Trump's been out there. He's making these stops. We saw him in Fort Myers yesterday. He's going to Iowa. And I know the governor's on a book tour, but where are you out there making this message in a campaign fashion? I think is a really, really good point. And, you know, when you're taking on President Trump, you are taking on a gargantuan in Republican politics. And, you know, I never bet against him. And when you do bet against him, you often end up wrong. But Republican voters, you know, they'll make that determination. But I think you're spot on with that economic message that we haven't heard too much of just yet.
No, I'm waiting for DeSantis to call. He hadn't called. So I'm just doing it on the air with you. Anyway, on the other side of the coin, it's interesting with the Democrats, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is not going to be president. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. throws his hat in the ring. Right? I know Bob Kennedy. You know, he used to come on my old CNBC show on climate change stuff. But so he throws his hat in the ring, Kayley, and he gets 14% support. And then the other one, the other gal, Williamson, I think she has 4 or 5%. And then there's a lot of undecideds. And we really. I do not see how Joe Biden can make this race. I do not see it physically. And he's so unpopular and his disapprovals are so high. And I was wondering, Mike, I guess my question to you is, with Kennedy in the race getting 14%, is that open the door for others? You know, whether it's Gavin Newsom or Pritzker or whoever the heck is going to run, more established candidates with more resources than Bob Kennedy. You think this is the beginning? I mean, here, just last one. I don't mean to prattle on, but Kennedy makes his announcement on Thursday, and that Thursday afternoon, the White House political people say, they start putting the word out that Biden's going to announce on Tuesday. So all of a sudden, Kennedy triggered that response. Now, I just wonder what else Kennedy's going to trigger.
I think you couldn't be more accurate on that. The White House, I think, would tell you, oh, no, we're doing this April announcement date because it's the anniversary of when Biden announced, 4 years ago. Not only that, he has international trips coming up and we have debt ceiling negotiations. So this is the time period. The problem is Axios had reported that Biden was going to wait until the fall. He had no reason to get in. Republicans were looking chaotic and he's going to let them do their chaotic primary and come in, in the fall. Well, all of a sudden, you're exactly right. That changed in a 24-hour frame, I think because of Robert Kennedy and his double-digit polling. And I think what lends even more credence to your theory is Biden is announcing Tuesday, according to the Washington Post, with a video on Twitter. I mean, you would think you're the sitting president. You have every resource at your disposal, and you're not announcing in front of a massive crowd with the aura of Air Force One in the background. What are you doing? So I think you're exactly right.
I hadn't seen that part. I'm going to go and read that. Kayleigh McEnany, the name of the book, Serenity in the Storm, Living Through Chaos by Leaning on Christ. Wonderful lady. Thank you so much for coming on.
Larry Kudlow.